If I am correct in this, I think today is the first day of the new year. And many people are thinking about New Year's resolutions. And I'm also aware of the fact that many people make resolutions, and sometime in January, it fizzles. So let's be realistic. And let's be thinking this morning about our commitment to Christ. I want to begin the lesson this morning in the book of Ezra, chapter number 7. There's a famous verse in this Old Testament book of Ezra that deserves our attention as we introduce the lesson this morning. Ezra chapter 7, and the famous verse is verse number 10. And it reads quite simply this: "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." Amen. So let's take a few moments this morning to challenge one another. Let's be challenged from the Word of God about our own commitment to God and to our fellow man. And so we begin this lesson in Ezra 7:10. Ezra had, first of all, set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah. You and I need every day a renewed commitment to the Word of God. Amen. "Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I love to feed my mouth food. I'm getting really good at eating. I've had a lot of experience, and I love to eat. But also I know that there's a spiritual part of me, and that part needs to be fed, and it needs to be fed spiritually by the Word of God. If I want to be strong spiritually, I'm going to have to feed that part of my person. Here we have Ezra saying, it tells us he set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah. I challenge you in this new year that you would be a person, you set your heart, you set your mind that you're going to do better. And not just some flimsy resolution that will fizzle, but rather a true commitment to be feeding upon the Word of God. Number two, this says that he's then going to do it. It's not enough just to hear what the Bible has to say, but we have to put it into practice. So we must feast upon the Word of God, number one. Number two, then we're going to have to obey it, do it, put it into action in our lives. And that is a process of growing in our devotion to God, in our doing the will of God. When you first learned to drive an automobile, maybe it was difficult at first, watching all of the different things. And, you know, you're supposed to glance in this mirror and that mirror and do your signaling and braking at the opportune time. And now many of you drove here this morning, and it was almost like you didn't even pay attention to what you were doing. It was so second nature, right? And so it is with the Christian life, that as we do more of the will of God, it should become our very second nature to do the will of God. And then number three, and many people never get to this stage. Many people I talk to, they think they're spiritually devoted to God. They think they're very mature, and they're not actually trying to teach other people about it. So number three, you see here, he said he's going to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. So now, having established kind of our introduction, I turn your attention to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. I think it is fitting for us to look at this Philippians chapter number 3. In Philippians chapter number 3, listen to the words the Apostle Paul penned. And before we read them, just remind yourself, this is a man of high caliber. Would you say amen?
Amen.
This is a man of devotion. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Would you say this man is driven to live and teach the Word of God, to set his heart to know the will of God, to do it and to teach others? Yes, he was devoted in that. But listen to what he wrote here in what is our Philippians 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things that are before. It's interesting to note the apostle writes and says, forgetting the things that are behind. Did Paul ever forget what his former life was? No. Later he will write about how he persecuted the church. He will remember his past life. So is the Bible contradicting itself? Is Paul saying, I forget the things that are behind, and then later he brings them up, and he didn't actually forget? This is a figure of speech, wherein it's an attitude that he has. He didn't wipe his brain clean of what his former life was like. He would later speak of it. But we understand the way he's using it here. I'm not going to let those things shackle me and burden me, but rather I'm going to forget the things that are behind and I'm going to stretch forward to the things that are before. It's as though, for example, I liked this cartoon that I remember some years ago. And it was an individual who was riding, sitting in the buckboard seat of a wagon. And this wagon was drawn by a mule. And he had a long stick, and dangling at the end on a string was a carrot, and he's holding that out in front of the horse. And as they galloped along, the horse never did reach the carrot, did it? Carrot motivation. And I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul said, he's stretching forward to the things that are before. He hadn't arrived yet. He hadn't obtained everything. But he was looking away from the past and stretching forward. Look at this verse 14. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have a calling. We are called to be disciples of the Lord. We're called to be holy. And the Apostle Paul was stretching forward to the things that were before him. He wasn't resting on what he had accomplished in the past through the will of God. All of the people that he had taught the gospel to, but he was still looking forward to mature in his own life and in his faith. Now, if the Apostle Paul can say that, can we all say that as well? That we have not arrived. Are there some things that you intended to do last year that now you will never do last year? Are there some things like that? And so I want us to submit to ourselves and to God this morning that we will be a better child of God in the future than we've been in the past. So we go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. And we need to set for ourselves realistic expectations. Realistic expectations. And doing better is doable, isn't it? That's a realistic expectation. So we go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, and I want to divide our lesson now into these two particulars. You see, in Matthew 22, verse 34, the Pharisees, when they heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together. Verse 35, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying him or testing him. Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now that sounds like a test, doesn't it? You come up to Jesus and you ask Jesus this trick question. What's the greatest commandment? Because if he says one, then he'll leave another one out. So what do you do? How do you pick? Less picking one, you leave another important one out. And Jesus says, without hesitation, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Heart, soul, and mind. Have you arrived there? I haven't arrived there. Have you arrived there? Paul says, I haven't arrived, fully attained. But the ideal, what we should be striving for, is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. You show me a Christian that's absolutely devoted to God, and they could sing the song, "It is well with my soul." We've just sung that song. And the question for us is it truly the case that it is well with my soul? loving God fully. And then Jesus adds this. This is the great commandment, great and first commandment. And a second is like unto this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So we have this vertical, me and God, my devotion to God, my love for God is heart, soul, and mind. And then there is the horizontal, loving my neighbor as myself. And these two great commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you might say, well, we're not under the old law of Moses any longer. But if you think about this as principles, right? Overarching principles, that it still applies to us, that our devotion to God must be number one. And when that is there, we can have love toward our fellow man. So let's take these two categories. And let's take the first one, our devotion, our heart, soul, and mind to God Himself. What did my devotion to God look like last year, and what ought it to look like in this new year? And certainly what it always ought to look like, right? Regardless of the day, what should my devotion to God look like? Well, first of all, like Ezra, the great scribe, we must feast upon the Word of God. The Bible tells me in a very simple way, Romans 10:17, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God or Christ. I want us to think about building our faith. You know, we live in a world in which there are going to be storms in our life. You're going to have health issues. You're going to have family issues, work issues. We live in a world where we have challenges in this life. And what's going to make the difference is our faith. If it's strong or weak. Many of you have been in this congregation long enough to look around and think of people that used to be here that are no longer here. Can you think of anybody? What happened? Did the Bible lose its power? Did something come upon them so difficult that they could not resist it? What was the problem? You know what the problem is. People fall away because they are weak in faith. And if faith comes from hearing the Word of God and someone's weak, what's the remedy? More faith building, and that is the Word of God. Friends, I give you my commitment. In this new year, I want to be a better preacher. I want to be more devoted to God. I want to be a better servant of God. And I'm going to try hard to give lessons that will feed this flock, this congregation, and try to reach out to others also. But listen to me clearly. If you're here every Sunday at 10, if you're here every Sunday at 11 and at 5 p.m. and every Wednesday at 7, and if that is the only time you feed on the Word of God, you're going to starve to death spiritually. It is absolute folly to think that you can leave your Bible in the pew and come here at every service and be spiritually strong. Listen, remember the eating I talked about? Do you eat on Sunday and Wednesday only for your body? How healthy would you be? What would you look like? And same with Bible study. We must be feeding upon the Word of God. What does your Bible reading and study look like? I want to have some lessons where we talk about reading the Scriptures, but I want to have some lessons to talk about how do we actually study the Scriptures. There's a difference between just reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures, examining them daily. And so we need to be feeding upon the Word of God. I hope we can have some lessons where we have some practical, how do we study the Bible so we can get more out of our Bible study. So I want to challenge you in that feeding in the Word of God for your soul. Also, I want to challenge you in your devotion to worship times. You see, I knew something might happen. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But I knew that if it's just falls that the first is going to be on a Sunday, you know what's going to happen at 10 o'clock this morning? We're going to look around and it's going to be fewer numbers. Do you know why? Because people are going to be up late and drag themselves out of bed looking kind of like frumpled. I think that's a technical term. But you see, We want to think about our devotion to times of worship, and God deserves our homage. God deserves our devotion, and He has told us to give Him reverence and awe and worship unto Him. And worship times are important in God's scheme of things. Sometimes we don't even realize how important worship is, even for ourselves, much less God deserving our adoration. So in the new year, I'd like to challenge you to be a person who's in the Word more in your personal life. Secondly, I want to see that you are here in worship times so that you can encourage your brethren and be encouraged yourself. If we had numbers on this board that list our Sunday morning Bible class attendance and our Sunday morning worship and our Sunday evening time, wouldn't it be amazing if they said people go to that Wasilla congregation and the numbers for Bible study, worship, and worship are almost the same numbers? What would you think of that? You'd say, well, that would be amazing. But I would say, if we're Christians, shouldn't that be the norm? And yet all around the country, go wherever you want to, and you see a dropping off in certain services or smaller numbers. Some people never come to Bible study. I know a brother of mine devoted to the Lord, studying, preparing hours for the book of Romans. Then he comes just excited about teaching the book of Romans. And I think he told me something like, and then some people aren't coming to the Bible study. He's like, I think I had something to offer. Amen. You have that opportunity in this congregation for these times. And I hope we will do better in the new year. So we talk about our Bible study, our Bible reading, our attendance in the times of service to help one another, our own personal lives, our devotion unto God. And then thirdly, under this category, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer. We do not pray enough. Can we all say that? We don't pray enough. In our personal lives, in our worship times, I don't think we pray enough. I think we need to give more thought and effort to prayer. So let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Heavenly Father, You are so great. You deserve our worship. We deserve to listen to Your Word every day as we read it and study it. Heavenly Father, You deserve our devotion in worship times and in Bible study times. And Heavenly Father, we need to talk to You more. Help us, Father, that we might take advantage of this opportunity, this amazing privilege to call upon You day or night in prayer. Heavenly Father, please forgive us where we have not been as diligent in prayer, and help us to be more prayerful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then I want to go to Matthew chapter 22 again. If you'll turn your Bible there again. And I want us to see that not only did the Lord say on the first part that you must be fully devoted to God, I want you to see the second commandment. And that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I pray that in this new year, God will give us the courage, the heart, the desire, the caring, that we are going to try to reach someone else with the gospel. And I want to challenge you, who are you going to try to reach with the gospel? Do you remember Ezra? We started off there in 7:10 of the book of Ezra. He was not only going to learn the will of God and then do it, but he was going to teach. I want to talk about this second part of the great commandment. We love our neighbor as ourselves. If your neighbor is in need, would you help them? I remember some years ago, I was living in Kentucky, and my next door neighbor, I was trying to interact with him, and he was a bit standoffish, let me say. But one day, there were these flashing lights next door. I went out of the house to see what it was. It was an ambulance parked at my neighbor's house. I ran up the hill to my neighbor's house and saw to see what's going on. There's an ambulance there. And my neighbor was just being taken on the gurney into the medical vehicle there. Later, I visited him in the hospital. Later, I taught him the gospel. I think maybe if I hadn't have gone over there and seen him as he was being taken away, he later said that really made a difference to him, and a really caring about him. Well, it was nothing for me. I'm curious, George, right? I want to know what's going on. But it made an impact on him. I'm saying this, that in this new year, who might you try to reach with the gospel? You see, we have this treasure, Paul says, in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness might be of God and not of ourselves. What is the treasure that you have? You probably have within your mind a knowledge of how a person can be saved. Do you know that? Is that in your mind? Would you be able to tell someone how to turn to God and how to be saved? You have within your power to tell someone and give them the greatest gift of all. You see, recently maybe you did some gift giving, right? Did you give anybody a gift recently? What was their reaction when they opened that package? A smile, a lit up face, right? And thank you, that's just what I wanted. Especially if they ordered it for themselves. But what if you gave someone not a book, not a nice jacket, not a ring, but what if you were able to tell someone how to change their eternal destiny? What price could you put on that? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. There's the commission that we talk about, and how is it going to be accomplished? I've said for so many years, we're never going to have enough evangelists. We're going to never have enough missionaries, but the Lord has His saints. Every child of God striving to reach out to those who are lost. And maybe you're uncomfortable initially doing the teaching, so I want you to call me after you've done this. First of all, I want you to think about it's a neighbor, a coworker, whoever it is that you want to try to reach with the gospel, and I want you to go back to prayer. I'm asking you to choose someone and in your mind begin to pray to God for that person by name. God already knows, but He wants you to pray to Him. Father, I have this neighbor. His name is whoever. And you pick that name and you pray for that person. Then I want you to go and talk to that person. Maybe write them a letter. However you want to contact them and say, I'm a Christian. I love God. I love His Word. I'm so excited that I'm on my way to heaven. And I'd like to have Bible studies with you. And then if that neighbor says, yes, I will study with you, you pick yourself off the floor and you say, now what do I do? He said, yes. Then you call me. We'll set up a time. And it'll be you and I, maybe Joy and your neighbor and maybe his wife if he's married, whoever it might be. And let's begin studying together. I think you can do that. Now, I realize that everyone in this audience might not do that. But I'm talking to you this morning. Will you do that? Will you do that? That's all I'm asking. You start picking a person, praying for them by name, and asking them to study the will of God. We want to share the gospel with Jesus. We don't have to have some special program. You need to be the program and get with God and care about others enough to reach out to them. But now let me give you a little secret. When we start teaching other people the gospel, it seems like we don't have time for other problems. You see, some people are wrapped up and they've got all kinds of problems. I'm not saying we never have problems. Listen, what I'm saying is it seems like they're less when we're busy doing the will of God. And so as I think about the Apostle Paul, I want to close out this lesson with the Apostle Paul. I want it to come full circle. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So what is the lesson for the day? The lesson is love God completely and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God completely means, number one, that I'm going to be feeding on His Word. Number two, I'm going to work on doing it. That is devotion and worship and study and reaching out to others. And then the second part of that, the love the neighbor as thyself, I am going to be praying and talking to others about the gospel. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. When Paul wrote those words, what had he been busy with? He had been busy living it and teaching it and praying all along the way and being a servant to God. I want that for you and me. But I realize as we're about to sing the invitation song, some of you may be struggling. There's some things in your past. Last year was maybe not a good year for you. There was viewing pornography and getting caught up in things like that. Maybe you were slothful even in your workplace. Maybe you had not much Bible study last year, not much reading in your prayer life. You're saying, I don't even know if God cares about me anymore, and you're really spiritually struggling. It's okay to say you need some help. There's a body of people here ready to help. If you have a need, come as we stand and sing.